Yes, indeedy. Lots of stuff going on here at Radio Fishing Land. I think this Saturday there's going to be a new show starting on Radio Fishing. The Pirate Peg Leg. Steve is going to start broadcasting his own show as of Saturday. So that's going to be interesting. See what Steve comes up with for a show. Oh, you're not on? That's why you're not talking?
Probably not.
How's that?
Much better.
See, that's why somebody else has got to start doing some of this. You and I
the
are
producer
keep,
was slacking.
Yeah, you and I are going to keep up on the area fishing reports once a week, and I'm planning on doing another show. But, you know, now Steve's going to be doing shows on Saturday and Tuesday. So you'll be able to tune in Saturday evening because he's going to, we do the, this is all recorded, as you guys know, and he's going to be doing Saturdays in the land of the Pirate Peg Leg. We don't really know what his show is going to be about.
You never know.
And Tuesdays.
Starts off as one thing and evolves into something totally different.
Yeah, and Tuesdays, I think that's going to be a call the captain's report and see what happened over the weekend and what's the projections for the coming week, which will be broadcast sometime Tuesday night. So,
right. Be a lot of good information and kind of newer. And I mean, I like the idea of having like their past week's fishing report plus what they're predicting with what's going on.
I think that's going to be a good one for Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really kind of looking forward to get that. And we're going to try and get another host to do another other show so we can get several shows up a week, start become our own broadcast station, so to speak. But I think Steve's going to be...
He'll be renting space in no time.
Yeah, you know, I think Steve's going to be a first... Well, that would be true if we charge for any of this.
Right.
But the one thing I don't want Radio Fishing to become is a pay-for-play thing where somebody's saying something good about something because they have advertising money.
Right.
Steve's volunteer. He's volunteering his time to do the show, to do all that, and whoever does this will have to be on a volunteer basis without thought of reward or money or anything else, because the one thing I'm unwilling to accept is that this turns into
an infomercial for one particular brand.
Yeah, this that's not what the reason I started this. If they want to do that, go out,
start your own.
Yeah, pay for radio time and do something. What this has got to be about is information for people. That's just about the information. If you want to talk about a product, you talk about it. If you don't want to talk about it, don't talk about it. There's nobody to tell them what to do, and there's no incentives for speaking good about this or bad about that. It's what they feel. Just purely opinion shows. So,
and that's the way it should be.
Well, I don't know if it should be. I could probably do a lot better if I was actually charging for this. I mean, do you know how many people approach me a week to get on this thing?
A lot.
Yeah. I could have another income coming in if I was willing to do that. So, because, I mean, there's literally, you know, thank you all so much for, you know, clicking in and listening to the show. There's actually several thousand people a week do that. Although we don't know why. I guess they're just gluttons for punishment.
Everybody's got to have a hobby.
Everybody's got to have a hobby. All right, so this is the Area Fishing Report, and we're looking forward to some new shows and new hosts. That's my goal for this year, is to for myself to do a couple of shows, me and Robert one, and myself on another vein. You want to help us, Morris? You got some time? The great thing about our show is somebody walks by the door, we go, come on, fool, join in, sucker. We're just getting ready to start the Area Fishing Report. And, yeah, this should actually slide to go wherever you want it. I'm sure you've seen a microphone before, so I don't know. It shouldn't be tight. What we do here is we start out, we go place by place, starting with the Peace River. We try and stay in that zone because we are going to catch the whole area. Do you have a little while to talk?
Sure.
Okay. Crank Morris up. We have Captain Morris Campbell just sat down in the guest spot. And Robert and I were just getting ready to start on the Peace River. Have we heard anything up in the Peace River?
I actually heard some pretty good stuff this past week.
Okay.
Reds are up there, pretty good numbers. Most of them are rat reds, but they have been getting some legal size fish in that 21, 24 inch range. Been a few oddball juvenile tarpon and a few snook. You know, I think some of those fish that were down around the 41 bridge and 75 bridge boogied from that little patch of red tide that moved in. Some didn't make it, but I think that's why there's all of a sudden been a good influx of a little bit better quality fish up there.
So you've heard about some little tarpon and stuff up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, jacks are the thing I've been hearing about up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing I keep hearing about. I watched schools go by in the house. I've watched them out in front on the harbor.
I was going to say I've heard them plowing down the center channel part, but haven't heard of much in the canal part.
Shell Creek, all over the place up there. It's really been kind of cool. I looked out my front window, and I was looking at the river. I try and, you know, in the mornings before I leave, look at the river, see what's going on, see if anything's happening. Big pods of bait. Now, I don't think they were definitely not greenbacks, absolutely not. And I'm almost thinking they were river shad.
It could be.
And
could be.
Guesses, threadfin or river shad. It had to be one of the two, boiling the surface, but not really moving, just kind of staying in the current, holding a spot in the current. Unfortunately, nothing was hitting them.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I saw a couple of times something hit at them from underneath. A few fish went up airborne and went down. I walked across the street to look out from behind the neighbor's house, and so I saw a couple of fish bait getting hit up out of the water, but it looked to me more river shad than anything.
I think it probably has been Hayden.
Yeah,
they're kind of big around. The only bad part is they don't live in a live water.
Not at all.
No.
If you don't throw your cast in on these bait fish you're seeing up there, it is not worth it. They will be dead in less than 3 minutes. You're just killing bait to kill bait. They do that all the time anyway. Yeah, but no, I'm just telling people, this isn't a bait you're actually going to be able to cast and put in a live well and use for fishing. They don't live. I mean, as soon as you hit them with the net, they're all dead. They're very fragile, and so just look for them and see if you can find any fish around them. Good lure to throw. I would think about that new Rapala double hook twitching mullet that looks like a twitching greenback that some... I love the people of Rapala. I am a huge Rapala dealer, huge Rapala fan, but the Rapala people, anybody who thinks that that twitching mullet looks anything like a mullet needs to have a rubber mallet taken to his forehead for about 15 minutes.
It's more of a shad bait.
Yeah, it's definitely a shad or something. It looks like a greenback, but I think that would be great tossing through those bait fish.
Yeah.
It would be very unlikely to snag a bait, and it would provide a very provocative thing for a fish to hit. So be kind of curious to find out. Hearing a lot of snook up around Harbor Heights, over on the Punta Gorda side. Shell Creek has been actually doing really good.
Yeah.
Jacks, we've heard some sharks up there recently, believe it or not.
Yeah, the little juvenile bull sharks.
Yeah, the little bull sharks up there. I think everything ran up river to get away from the red
tide.
That
was my experience last week. I fished in the river, put in at Lashley boat ramp, and was going to go around to PGI area, and the red tide was pretty bad over in that area, just dead fish everywhere, and it was strong enough where it was causing me to cough, and you know, very uncomfortable to be in. So we left and we went to 41 Bridge, tried around there, and there wasn't anything really alive there either. So we got up past the interstate, and that's where we found we had some snook up around 30 inches, and we caught juvenile bull sharks, bonnet heads. There were quite a few bonnet heads up there. Snapper, mangrove snapper, and redfish, and jack.
Sounds so, like a pretty productive day up there.
Yeah, most of the snook were up around the islands from, you know, north of the interstate bridge all the way up past Harbor Heights. Little deep runs around the channels and things like that. I did see a school of silver trout in the hole up there too, right before the interstate bridge.
Oh, there you go.
But you couldn't catch a silver trout because the little sharks would eat them.
Oh, really? Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I mean, to be able to go up, and those silver trout, there's no slot limit or bag limit on them. But when you're catching them, you always want to make sure, can I get a fillet out of this?
That's true.
Is this more than just a one-bite fillet? You know,
it's good on a cracker.
What would you say? I'd say somewhere around 12 inches. If they're under 12, there's not enough meat on them to make it worthwhile filleting them.
Not really, you know. 10, 12 inches is, you know, you got to cut it off there. I mean, it's too small.
Yeah. You could just either tip it up or come back, but you're on max. So
okay.
There you go. All right. So anyway, up around 41, has anything changed since you've been up there lately?
No, it's still been a little bit slow. That little patch of red tide that moved through there last Thursday has just still kind of got it a little ghost town. It's not going to take much longer for those fish to move back in.
What about Lashley Pier? Anything at Lashley? Same pier?
Same thing, unfortunately.
Bayshore Pier.
Bayshore has gotten a little quiet, too. You know, I think just with it all moving across right through there was all little patches.
Yeah.
just any, shut it down.
But it was lethal little patches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So you're agreeing with Robert Morris that still slow there, Bayshore?
It's pretty slow. The good news is once this does clear out, you know, the fish will come back with a vengeance, and, you know, they'll be in full winter mode when they come back.
All right. Well, then going around to the Port Charlotte canals, anything up in the canals?
Yeah, that's actually doing pretty good. The red tide didn't really move in on this end. It moved over towards the Punta Gorda side and then kind of bounced its way across Bayshore and up the 41 bridges, but didn't move it into the Port Charlotte canals. So some juvenile black drum, mangrove snapper, some jacks coming through in spurts. The only thing I haven't heard much good about has been snook. The ones that have been around have been little peanuts, but I'm not too concerned about snook. You know, now that season's closed, I don't have really a desire to really try to target them.
You heard anything, Morris, about Port Charlotte Canal System?
I have not. I haven't been in that area in a while. So
there have been a few redfish along the shoreline there from Grassy Point over towards the Manchester Waterway. Some underneath those docks by the beach complex. You know, just kind of scattered reports of them. I don't think it's gangbuster numbers, but if you're going by there, it's worth checking them out and flipping a couple of the docks there.
All right. Next on our list, Elgin Bean Pier. Anybody heard anything about Elgin Bean?
Snook at night. You know, the guys have been targeting the snook at night. Even though the season's closed, the guys are still out there trying to catch that trophy fish to take a picture of. But the sheep's head have started to move in a little bit more. Every week we seem to be getting a few more reports of sheep's head, and we know that most of them are residents that have moved out of the canals and just like to cluster up around there. But it is definitely getting a little bit better for them. I haven't heard of anything with mangrove or trout or anything like that there.
I saw a guy fishing off of the Elgin Bean Pier, and he was actually pulling up a pretty good-sized sheephead. He was doing the piling thing. You know, two of them were fishing there, and one guy pulled a pretty decent-sized sheephead up, so it is working there. There are some live fish there to catch.
Yeah, I don't know if the red tide hit Elgin Bean very
well. It did. Yeah, it made it up past Tippy Canoe. I know that because there was guys that were seeing flopping rays right there out in front of the condos.
All right, so let's talk about Tippy Canoe, that, you know, stretch of the Myakka Cutoff, Cattle Dock, anything anywhere? Anybody heard
Quiet.
Of
it?
Yeah, it's
real quiet.
It got affected, and this time of year, that should be red hot.
Yeah, Carl was saying the other day that he was doing well in the cutoff on redfish and snook, but I haven't heard anything since and didn't know if there was any other updates.
He went back through there yesterday, and he got a couple small redfish and a couple small snook, so that says that they're starting to come back in now, but I think each day it's going to get better and better. Like Morris was saying, you know, those fish will start to move back in. Except for the, you know, just got to get past that stigma of all the red tide everywhere and just learn to move around until you find
fish. Dead fish around doesn't mean that the red tide is affecting the area at that time. It just means that that fish died from it and is floating through the area.
Exactly.
Okay. South Gulf Cove, anything up in the canals? Anybody heard anything?
There's been some guys back there crappie fishing. You know how tight-lipped they are. How'd you do yesterday? Okay. They get ordered double the amount of minnows that they got the day before. You know, they got one dozen the day before, and then they say, I did okay, but give me three dozen minnows. You know?
I used to do a lot of guiding up in the Gulf Cove area. And, you know, the further up you get, usually the better your freshwater chances are in that area. Get away from the saltwater influence, because bass will tolerate a little more salinity than a crappie will. But, you know, live minnows this time of year, little pink jigs should really tear them up in those kind of areas.
Yeah, it's actually some pretty good fishing back up there, and it is an unusual canal system because of you do have the back ends of freshwater, and then they get salt going out towards the locks. So there is some transfer of salt water across the marshes and mangroves that we can't get boats through, but there is some transfer. So let's move our way down that. Work our way down the west wall. Anything happening on the west wall anywhere?
I haven't heard of much. Carl was actually going there this morning to see how it got affected or if it's perked back up. The only thing I've heard about is some redfish down more towards the southern tip where it got bothered, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. Fish are starting to definitely move in down there on that southern end, but I haven't heard anything from the halfway point up. You heard anything?
Well, you know, not on the West Wall area, but, you know, in the Turtle and Bull Bay area.
Well, we're almost there.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, we're almost there. Okay. Cape Hayes, right at Cape Hayes. Anything going on?
Cape Hayes is starting to liven up a little bit, in particular on the Boca Grande side of it, on that deeper channel. Ladyfish, some Spanish mackerel, a few jacks, a lot of bonnet head sharks. Heard of a great deal. I mean, there's a good number of bonnet head sharks all over on that flat there. A few trout, but most of them are small. A couple guys have gotten into a couple sizable ones, but the majority of them are on the smaller side.
Morris, anything to add about Cape Hayes?
Well, Cape Hayes, if you can find the tide, you know, where it's clean, you can do some good in there, especially, you know, the good news is if you've got ladyfish and sharks, they're not going to tolerate any red tide at all. You know, they're going to die first, you know, and get out of the area first. So if you got ladyfish and sharks back in the area, then that looks like a little brighter picture for it. So it looks like things are picking up in that area.
Okay. All right. Then I guess we're in the Turtle Bay, Bull Bay. Is there one doing better than the other? Or are they both kind of the same?
I've heard a little bit better in Turtle Bay, but I'm hearing good reports from both of them. What do you got going on in there?
The guys that are fishing Bull and Turtle Bay from the Boca Grande area, up in my part of the woods there, they're still complaining quite a bit, but you know, a lot of them just have canceled trips because of the red tide, and they're not really going yet. You know, I fully believe that there are fish back in those areas. Those areas were affected 2-3 weeks ago, and you know, it's cleaned out, but you know, over around the Boca Grande Bayou area and those areas just across the harbor, across the canal from them, the channel, still there's some dead manatees floating around and all kind of nice things like that, you know, red tide residue, but
okay,
haven't seen now, any new dead fish.
Let's take a moment to jump out to the Cape Hayes Reef. Anything been on the reef at all, or did that just no reports?
No reports that I've heard of there.
No, I don't think anyone's really been fishing it yet.
Okay, and now we're up into Gasparilla Sound in the tailing flats. So you're saying there's still a lot of dead fish. Now, Carl said he did really good in a lot of the creeks over there a few days ago as far as redfish and snook. Has it been hit again in the last few days?
I don't think it's been hit in the last few days. I think the redfish and snook are way, way back into the areas there. Areas like Catfish and Widdens and those areas that have some multiple creeks that feed in. Those areas can be real good on a red tide because the fish will run away from it, you know, attempt to run in as far as they can. And those should be really good. You can use, you know, lures or shrimp at this time of year. And water temperature is still warm enough, you know, if we didn't have the red tide around, that there's still some bait around. But it's really shrimp time of the year.
Now, I've had two guys that I talked to have actually seen a couple schools of greenbacks or thread fins or whatever. They just said bait, so I'm assuming it's one or the other.
Right.
Which is a good thing after a red tide to actually start seeing some of that come in down there. You know, so I guess it's just, you know, this is still just part of life. I mean, you know, unfortunately, it's been going on forever. But let's look at the Placida Trestle, Placida Pier. Anything going on out there, Robert?
Sheep's Head. Guys have been really, I mean, that would be my first choice to go to if I wanted to target Sheep's Head right now.
It's one of the first fish to come back after the red tide.
Yeah. You know, that's been incredible out there during the daytime. Been a few mangrove snapper being caught off there, a couple incidental bonnet heads and Spanish mackerel. But the majority of the guys are really, truly targeting the Sheep's Head just because the sheer numbers that have moved in, you know, from some of those near shore reefs and stuff that were hiding from that red tide, decided to scoot in finally and doing pretty well on them.
What do you got, Morris? I know you go by there a lot.
We go by a lot, and I haven't seen a whole lot of people fishing there. You know, the ones that are fishing that area are Sheep's Head fishing, and they're continuing on. Some of the guys in boats are actually fishing the trestle as it goes on toward Little Gasparilla Pass.
Yeah, you got to hit that 10, 12 feet of water to really find much for good fish right now. But they should start coming in shallower. What do you think? You think the sheephead are going to start moving in from the offshore reefs now, or are you think it's still going to be a while?
Well, on the sheep's head, they're going to be spawning, so you're going to have a lot of fish that actually congregate around the bridges and pilings and piers and things like that.
I guess the question is, you think it's already started, or you think we've got a while to go?
No, I think they've already started to do that. And what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, more than half of your sheephead actually go to those reefs to spawn offshore, and they'll stay out there until March, April, and then they'll migrate in.
So, all right.
It's possible to catch a 8-10 pound sheephead out on the offshore reefs that time of year on a shrimp.
Okay, well, let's jump up to Lemon Bay. Now, I'm hearing a lot of crazy stuff about Lemon Bay, that somehow after the red tide, the fishing's actually now better than it was before the red tide was going.
Yeah, it seems to have turned on a little bit. You know, getting a lot of reports of undersized gag grouper with a few legal-sized gag grouper. The snook and the redfish been hanging out on the docks, especially on the mainland side. Getting some reports of some trout and Spanish mackerel with guys that are just kind of slow trolling through that miserable mile. You know, it's definitely turned on, and it seems like as you get closer or further north, you know, heading towards the Tom Adams area, that whole stretch, those islands and grass flats, you know, trout, a couple oddball whiting, still a lot of juvenile gags through there. I mean, it's been kind of a good mix of stuff.
You know, something to remember on the...
What are you thinking?
Something to remember on this red tide deal. Years and years of watching red tide come and go and being on the water, you know, a bunch of days guiding, the water quality, especially in Lemon Bay, just gets superb after a red tide. I mean, it kills all the algaes and things, that neurotoxin that the red tide gives off. It kills a bunch of things that you wouldn't think of, and so you get really clean, clear water, and the fish seem to respond to that.
Now, the one thing I can say that actually kind of reinforces what you're saying. In California, they were finding a lot of other species dead that are not affected by red tide. But when the red tide hit, it made the conditions right for other algae before they were killed to put off a different set of toxins that actually killed more of a broad spectrum stuff. But like you say, It was
their own defense mechanism to survive against the red tide,
right.
But it killed the other things as a byproduct.
And so there was actually a lot more things being affected, but not really affected by the red tide. Because of the red tide, some of these other things went off. And afterwards, as you said, they saw a dramatic difference in the water. Mm-hmm. So while this is very detrimental, there are sometimes back effects that we don't really think about, like an increase in the shrimp population, more crabs, more of
stone
this,
crabs,
more of that.
Crabs.
All the crabs, because they don't die from the red tide, but they eat on everything that was killed from the red tide. So the more you feed something like that, the faster it grows, and the bigger it gets, the quicker it gets. And so they spawn earlier. Everything happens on a vastly accelerated rate. So instead of like saying shedding or molting at the end of the month, it might happen much earlier than that, mm-hmm. and they get much bigger quicker. So
absolutely,
it's a weird balance of the world, and I'm not even considering that I understand it or that this was good and that was bad. But I think there's a lot more to stuff than simply okay, this is bad. There's often something else that happens. So going to the Tom Adams Bridge Pier. I've heard stories from Chandler and others that there's a lot of snook underneath the bridge there at the Tom Adams Bridge, and fishing from the pier, they're trying to get over to them snook. Anything else doing from that pier?
Sheep's head. They've been getting quite a few sheep's head during the daytime. The whiting are not great quantity, but the quality is definitely a little bit better. You know, I've heard of some 1 pound whiting coming off of there. So that's pretty good.
And if your water quality's good there, flounder are always a bonus fish off of the Tom Adams Bridge.
Ooh. There you go. And this is the time of year when they are usually around, at least in targetable numbers, semi-targetable.
This is going to take us out in the Gulf of Mexico. What's going on, reefs, wrecks? Hearing a lot of stories, a lot of grouper coming in a little closer than what they had been. I actually, in a weird way, think that some of that very near the shore red tides dump so much dead stuff on the bottom. We're starting to see a lot of other fish coming closer.
Scavenging, yeah.
As the scavenging starts picking up. Yeah, just a second. Okay, and we're out in the Gulf of Mexico talking about all this stuff. We were kind of, it's just a weird thought that maybe some of those dead fish were actually bringing some in. I heard earlier, before the red tide hit bad, when it was just little tiny patches, it would go in and massive pinfish kills or greenbacks kills. And there's actually schools of redfish and stuff going in to feed on a lot of that dead stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if this same offbeat phenomenon might be happening in the Gulf to bring some of those other fish in. Supposed yes, no, or am
absolutely.
I out of my mind?
No, absolutely.
Well, I know you'll agree with me because you always think I'm right. Morris, what's your opinion?
Well, yeah, they do that. what I noticed when the red tide was...
I'm just messing with you, Robert.
I know. That's all good. I know.
When the red tide was first really starting to show its ugly head around, I was actually coming back from Palm Beach with the big boat, and we were coming up the coast, and somewhere around Captiva north, I started hitting the big bull redfish, the big spawning redfish that were floating. There were dozens of them up, belly up, floating out there. So they'd gotten caught in that, and I believe they were actually in there trying to feed, like you were saying. You know, it's their time of the year anyway. This was back in
right.
October, but they were, you know, I believe they were in there feeding on that stuff, and they just got caught in it.
Now, have either of you two ever heard of that phenomenon where all of a sudden, you know, because usually when the red tide's in, the fish are just out for a while, and I don't think they really can get back in time to feed the fish. But this was such a quick hit. Boom, come in, a lot of little fish dead, and then the red tide was gone again.
Right.
It was the first time I had ever heard of anything like that.
It's the first time I've heard of that too, but it doesn't surprise me at all. You know, because, I mean, it doesn't matter what species of fish it is, they're all going to be opportunistic feeders. And when you've got that much death around, they're going to go in there and try to scavenge up whatever they possibly can in order to survive.
A few years back, there were red tide was in, and we would tarpon fish during the red tide. And it didn't matter what kind of fish. They were in there feeding on the dying fish that were coming up.
Yeah, and they're spinning out.
The tarpon were just having a field day on them. You could take a grunt, a pinfish, you just like dipping up a crab, you dip up a spinning fish, hook them on, throw it out with a cork, and you'd have an instant tarpon on. And it was just field days for tarpon when the red tide was in.
You've seen it before on tarpon, and you know, this is the first time. One of the reasons we enjoy having you as a guest is because of your time on the water. It was kind of new for me, and so, but this kind of verifies what we're saying. But I guess we better get back to the report. In the Gulf of Mexico, what's going on? How far out are we looking? What's happening in those reefs that are 3 to 10, 12 miles out?
3 to 12 miles out. Your grunts, sheep's head, lane snapper are all doing incredible on all those near shore reefs. There has been a few Spanish mackerel, an oddball king, and an oddball cobia on those nearshore reefs, but it seems like you get into the more consistent numbers and better quality kings and cobia as you move further offshore.
Yeah, and that's usual for this time of year because the water's starting to cool in closer to the beach, and we've also had the red tide, and your mackerels, and see, you know, when you see mackerel showing up in an area, they don't tolerate red tide. They leave. That's one of the fish that actually leaves. So that's mackerel or an indicator that things are coming back. I was catching good kingfish just past the power pole reef and right around the power pole reef on live bait, slow-trolled live bait. And last week, fished probably 45 minutes and didn't get a take. And then when we pulled lines in to start in, then I found, you know, a big strip of red tide that was about 5 miles offshore there. And it was really bad choke you.
Right.
Outside of that, there were blackfin tunas out there. There were bonitas still. There were, you know, it was a limit of gag grouper and mangrove and yellowtail snappers right away. You know, the fishing's really good offshore, and the red tide has had no effect on it. So, you know, that would be my best bet for saltwater right now is to get, you know, take some snapper bait, shrimp, you know, small bait if you can keep it alive, but the shrimp will stay alive right on through the pass and everything, and get out there and catch your grouper bait offshore, take some frozen baits, and, you know, work on them while they're available and while they're biting good.
All right. So actually not a bad report out there.
No, it's been incredible. And then, I mean, today and tomorrow is like zero wind. You know, Thursday it's going to pick up a little bit with that front if it makes it down this far, but I think by the weekend it should be pretty nice again.
Yeah, we're kind of set up with the jet stream right now to have some really good Indian summer weather, so we should enjoy that.
All right. Let's drop back into the passes. Anybody heard about Ponderosa, Redfish, Captiva, Boca, Stump, Venice? Any of these doing any good?
Captiva and Boca are the only two that I've heard of. You know, there was about a red tide up there in Venice.
Venice had pretty
from
good.
Casperson Beach up to the jetties that I've heard of. So literally it's just been Boca and Captiva. It's been Sheep's Head, Whiting, few oddball mangrove snapper, a few oddball bonnet heads. And those are just guys that are fishing from the beaches right at the edges of the channel, but the guys that are drifting or trolling are getting some Spanish mackerel, some bigger mangrove snapper. I've heard of two legal gag groupers so far, a lot of little guys. One guy actually saw a rolling tarpon in Captiva the other day.
Anything more? So you see these quite a bit.
Yeah, they're, you know, like Robert was just saying, you know, and, you know, right before the tide started in and did its ugly thing, there were a lot of pompano starting to show up, and expect to see those as soon as the water starts to clean and get really pretty. You're going to see a lot of pompano pile in, and it'll be a really good time.
I like that. Pompano are a blast, and when they move in out there, it's unbelievable how many there really truly are.
Yeah, if anybody just has any huge desire to catch a pompano and they're kind of buffaloed on what to use, just come into the store and they can show you the little pompano jigs, you know, and they work terrific. And not only do they catch pompano, but they'll catch just about everything out there, and you can run them in tandem with a little fly behind. And something that people may not be aware of is you can use that pompano jig up in the harbor and catch all the silver trout you could ever want to catch on two at a time sometime.
Cool. All right. Now, this is the segment, Morris, where we're going to imagine that we're no boat, no anything. We're just standing on a beach. Could be Venice, Englewood, Boca, Captiva. Pick any of the beaches right along the Gulf, and you're walking along with a fishing pole. Is there anything you can catch while you're just standing on shore casting out?
Well, the pompano jig I was just speaking of there, the little lead jig with nothing on it, you know, just a painted jig, that's superior off the beach. You can catch just about anything. Speckled trout will bite it. I've caught snook.
Not what could bite it. Is there anything there to bite?
Well, there could be, and that's the thing. I'm not sure of that. But that would be a great search bait if you were walking down Englewood Beach, Boca Grande, Gasparilla Island, Little Gasparilla Island, Cayo Costa Beach. Great search bait because everything bites it.
Yeah, there's been a few whiting out there at Boca Grande.
Whiting bite it too.
And Stump Pass. But it hasn't been hot and heavy the way it should. And I don't know if it's because of that red tide that moved through a couple weeks ago, or just the water temperature hasn't been exactly perfect. You know, we had a couple days of, for me, super, super cold weather, and then it turned right back on to perfectly nice warm weather. So I don't know if those fish are just a little screwed up.
Well, I was down at the Boca Grande Beach, went down and looked in the surf, trying to see, you know, just check the status of, you know, living fish, and I didn't see anything down there. It was very calm conditions. The water was starting to clean up and get that really pretty post red tide look where it's nice and clean, but I didn't see any live fish right in the surf, and that's usually where you're going to see your little whitings and permit and things like that.
All right. Well, let's drop down. We have a special section here for Ponderosa, Sanibel Island. Either of them doing okay?
I honestly have not heard a report at all this week down there.
Nor have I.
I've tried making a couple phone calls, but I haven't gotten any feedback to what's going on down there.
Right. Moving on to Matt Lachey. Anything in the Matt Lachey area?
Honestly, in the same boat. Still waiting to hear back from a couple guys.
I would expect that Matt Lachey, you know, the further up you get, probably from the bridge on up in Matt Lachey to the south, I would think that area would hold a lot of fish right now that got ran out of the harbor. So I wouldn't hesitate to look around in that area, toss some lures or some shrimp in the usual haunts in that area. I don't think areas like Two Pine or anything like that would be real good area to look at right yet, but you know, further down past the bridge.
If we're going to go out, let's go out to Pine Island Sound. What's going on Pine Island Sound?
On North Pine Island, I've started to get a couple reports. I mean, there was some bad red tide right there around Mondongo and Patricio and Giuseppe. They got creamed, but I've heard of a few more trout starting to move back in. A couple sheep's head have started to move into some of those deep, deep sand holes. And a few Spanish mackerel coming through, but it's still not gangbusters yet that I've heard. If it is, they're keeping their lips tight because nobody's saying much. But I suspect it's just from that massive kill because that bloom that went through there was a really, really big, good one.
All right. Now, down at the south end of Pine Island Sound, they never had the red tide effects, according to what I've heard.
That's what they say.
That's what they said.
The gag grouper and on the flats, I'm assuming trout, redfish, stuff like that.
Yeah, they should all still be down there. I just haven't had any callbacks to let me know how they're doing down there, unfortunately.
Yeah, you can get down in, around the power line area where the big heavy power lines cross just before your blind pass down there on the inshore side of the channel, and those flats should have plenty of redfish and trout on them right now.
Okay, I guess I gotta finish the sentence.
Thought finished, but the fingers didn't.
Yeah, I knew what I was typing, but I only typed half of it. So let's going to jump to the other end of the island, Boquilla, Jug Creek Shoals. Anything going around there? I haven't heard of a thing there myself.
Yeah, that was an area that was pretty much hit by the same red tide that got Giuseppe and all that area. If you did look for something, I would look up the creek there at Jug Creek or, you know, quite a ways inside.
All right. Burnt Store Two Pines, any reports?
Starting to pick up just a little tiny bit. I've heard of a few trout and a few redfish right there along the wading flats there where everyone kind of wades south of Burnt Store Channel, but not gangbusters yet. You know, it's just starting to turn back on.
Okay. Let's go up to the east side. Now, I'm hearing about a lot of trout moving in on the east side.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Everything's still kind of conflicted for me. Anybody got any updates on the east side of the harbor?
I'm getting the same conflicted reports from, you know, yesterday. I had five different people in there telling me that we're out there fishing on Sunday. One guy did great on the trout. Another guy did absolutely horrible on the trout, and they were both fishing the same general areas. None of them did say that they were banner great size trout, though. They were all, you know, 12, 14 inches, couple legal 15, 16-inch fish.
That's about the same report that I've gotten from the area.
Been a few redfish over there, mostly all rat reds that the guys are catching with a couple legal-sized fish, but it's amazing how many rat reds were just kind of popped up overnight, just on time for the red tide. First time in a couple of years with rat reds actually finally showing up, and then this happens. It's like, really? Yeah, you know, it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, but the good news is once it's over, it'll be good. It'll be really
absolutely
good.
Absolutely.
Okay, Alligator Creek. Anything in the creek itself? Anybody heard of
it? Nothing. Nothing at all. Carl said he got into a couple jacks yesterday, but that was it.
If you go far enough up, there's some good bass fishing.
Yeah.
Past the dam.
Yeah, but that's up over the dam. And right now, you can't even get to the dam. The water's so low. You know, maybe you could walk over there from Taylor Road, though. PGI and the canals, Ponce de Leon Park. Anything going on in Ponce?
That was pretty hard hit area.
Yeah, it got hit pretty hard. It's been really, really slow in there.
Good area to take pictures of buzzards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not the usual ones that live in the area, but these are
not old ones.
How about the PGI canals themselves, up inside of the canals?
All the way up to Burnt Store Isles. They come out of Burnt Store Grill the other night. My wife and I, we came out after dinner, and the red tide would make you cough and gag. It was so bad. So, yeah, it got way up in those.
Yeah, I made it all the way up back into the bird district back in there.
Yes.
It is pretty rough. It's a good place to take pictures of the buzzards and the dead fish. You know?
The one buzzard nobody ever expects is the bald eagle.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the one buzzard that everybody just hates to think of as a buzzard.
Oh, he's a scavenger.
But they're really a scavenger bird. I mean, they're excellent predator, but you know, would you want to chase something around? Or, okay, there's lunch, you know.
That's right.
And so hearing amazing reports of how many bald eagles we're starting to hear. Taking us around to Gilcrest Pier. Is anything happening in Gilcrest?
Nothing. I have not heard anything there, unfortunately.
Let's talk about the reef. Anything at Alligator Creek Reef?
It got hit a little bit and pushed some fish off, but it's deep enough there where some of the fish stayed around. There's been a few sheep's head being caught off of there. I've heard of a couple Spanish mackerel, a couple undersized cobia. The weird part is I haven't heard of any mangs there, and there should be mangrove snapper going off pretty good, but just
they'll leave. Yeah.
And
you know, we haven't seen any Goliath grouper floating, so
yeah, that's
I'm
another
sure
thing.
They're
that's
back.
True.
I'm sure they're on the reef.
That's true, because even the stuff that went in through the Boca area, did you see any? Besides a handful of juveniles,
we saw some small ones, but we did see a lot of red and gag grouper.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's just weird because you always see at least a couple 200 or 300 pounders floating around when it pops through, and I didn't hear of any this year.
Didn't.
All right. The deep holes out in the harbors. Anything out there?
Honestly, just catfish.
Yeah.
Catfish about all I've heard of out there right now.
And there are big old sail cats up there close to the interstate too in the deep hole. The deep hole right there where the red marker makes the sharp turn around that. I think they're eating the silver trout that the sharks, bull sharks and everything black tips were eating too.
Right.
Well, the one thing about the sharks is they're very messy eaters, so
they do make a mess.
They like feeding on the half pieces and things that are falling down when the sharks finish eating. I'm not even going to do the bait report. I wouldn't know where to call for bait or anything.
Your best bet right now for bait is to come in and get your shrimp, because you're not going to keep any bait alive other than shrimp or crabs.
All right, freshwater fishing. Anybody got anything on the freshwater side?
Besides all the giant bass that he's catching?
I know. Morris is catching giant monster bass, but we'll get into that in a minute. Go ahead, Robert. You got anything?
Yeah, the crappie fishing has been absolutely incredible this week. The real North Port canals, like up there off of Sumpner, the ones off of Price Road, even, you know, typical 9 Mile canal and some of the Port Charlotte canals. You got guys that are getting 13, 14-inch crappie pretty regularly. Even Stephen Pegleg got into some when he was out there bass fishing the other day using a 17MR. You know, they were just crushing that, which is not super surprising, but it always catches you off guard when you got a supposed bass lure targeting that and start killing the crappie.
Absolutely. Yeah, the biggest crappie I ever seen caught, my son caught one on an enormous dives to 20 crankbait.
So, really?
And he caught a monster crappie. I'd venture to say it was almost 4 pounds. It was just it was that big.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Remember, you got to lean forward, Morris.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to lean back.
Yeah. Well, just pull your microphone back.
Or scoot your chair forward.
Yeah, scoot your chair back or pull the microphone forward. Either way you can do it. Okay, so Morris, now, I know you were at the Stick Marshes?
Yeah, I fished Garcia Reservoir on Monday. And these are two areas they're almost in Vero Beach. They're just past Blue Cypress Lake. They're off Highway 60, and we spent the night over there and fished the Garcia Reservoir and probably caught 30 plus bass out of Garcia. Spinner baits and topwater lures were the ticket there. The plastic worms were quite a bit slower. The reason that the spinner baits and topwaters were working in Garcia is just an enormous amount of small shiners, 2 to 4 inches long. And anything that mimicked one of those was just it was a bass strike. Nothing really large out there. Our largest fish was 5 pounds, but you know, we caught fish all day long. The next morning was that morning that we had that big squall line come through in the afternoon, and it set up just perfect for fishing the big live shiners in the Stick Marsh. And we stopped and got 5 dozen shiners between 9 and 14 inches long. And we proceeded to use every one of those before 11:30, and we caught 16 bass over 5 pounds with a 9 pound 10 ounce being our largest, but we had multiple bass in the 7 to 8 pound range. It was a really banner day of bass fishing. You know, everybody lost a fish that was double digits in the hydrilla.
Well, that's one thing I've got to do is we are going to do a freshwater show. That's the one thing I'm really going to work into. And now, in a while, you're doing a little bit of freshwater guiding, Morris, but mm-hmm. that's not your focus right now. But maybe what we can do is team up on doing a freshwater report show. I need somebody to help me do a freshwater study. I get a lot of the reports, and you do a tremendous amount of bass fishing. So I'm going to try and get together with some of the guys down in Fort Myers and Cape Coral mm-hmm. and all these other areas to start putting together one show a week dedicated to the freshwater fishing industry. It's something right. we haven't done yet, and that's what we got.
We have an enormous amount of freshwater fishing in Charlotte County, and right now the Webb Lake is a banner place to go. I mean, you can catch bass there till the cows come home right now this time of year. All the canals are pretty good, the little lakes and little ponds, just about every place behind somebody's house that has a pond or a canal, you can walk back there and catch a really nice bass this time of year.
Yeah, bass fishing has been a lot better than it has been in the last couple of years as far as consistency goes. Last year it was kind of spotty, but this year it seems to be staying a little bit more steady.
Okay. So anyway, I'm going to try and my word, we've got Pirate the Peg Leg is going to be doing two shows, and I'm going to be doing our area fishing report with this plus another show, and then I will get either myself or someone to do a straight out freshwater show here very, very quickly, so we can keep up on that. All right, now that we're kind of hitting the end of the fishing report, the last question is always, what did we miss? Anything we should have gone over that we didn't? Any things coming up?
Not that I can think of. I mean, I think the biggest thing is, and I know we talked about red tide a lot, but don't sweat it too much. Get out there and just go look around, learn new areas.
If you start coughing, move.
Yeah.
If you're out there looking around, you're in a boat.
Because I haven't heard of anything in the last couple of days as far as where there's an absolute bloom going on.
Well, the problem is it's going to be still coming up and going down. Now, if we could get a good rain, they are forecasting some rain. We need one good rain to kind of kill it out of the harbor.
Right.
But, it may just back off on its own, or it could get a lot worse. The only way you're going to know is to go out there and see what it's like. And if you're coughing, move the boat.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's not like you're stuck on shore. Anyone that's in a boat, they shouldn't be complaining.
Shore,
they can move.
You got there in a car. Go back in your car and drive somewhere else.
Travel right. to a different area.
Yeah. The nice part about it is you didn't arrive there in a horse and buggy. You didn't ride there horseback. It's not going to be hard for you to leave. Pull up in the car, you get out, you start coughing, okay, go somewhere else. Chances are it'll be fine. So anything more so you can think that we need to talk over or get down?
No, I think our best bets we discussed were, if you're going in salt water, I think your best bet, if you do have a boat and can get out in the Gulf, is to go out in the Gulf and catch them.
I don't know what all that dinging was about, but I won't touch any more keys until it gets done.
Right.
All right. Well, this is, let's see, we'll do this properly. All right. This is Fish and Frank in the chair here, and this has been the Area Fishing Report. Fish and Frank. We got Robert in the chair across from me. We have Captain Morse Campbell in the guest spot, and we're going to be doing more with Morris, especially in the freshwater, because as time goes by, Morris is going to be doing more and more freshwater guiding, and as he gets more into that, we'll be letting you know as Morris actually decides to make that more of a part of his routine, and which soon come. I mean, which would be a great thing for the area, because there's some people doing it, but not like, you are Morris. I'm sorry. It's hard. I don't know how else to explain it. He is Morris, So
catch a 10-pound bass out of the dirt hole in the parking lot with a little bit of water in it.
Yeah, I know. Makes me nuts sometimes, but never find a better person to fish with. We'll say goodbye, Morris.
Goodbye, Morris.
Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
Oh, you guys are so much fun. This is Fish and Frank. We'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.